Welcome to the message portion of today's service. It is a joy to be able to be together and see and visit with folks we haven't seen for a while, and it is just a blessing. And today we will be talking about hope, this first Sunday of Advent. As we begin, let's share a very quiet and special time with our Savior Jesus Christ in prayer. As we come before you, loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we know that you love us. That is something that gives us great peace. It allows us to have hope. And God, we ask, and I ask, that you would take this message and you say it however you want. That certainly, God, you will allow each one in this room to hear specifically what you have prepared for them. This is your message. This is your season as we celebrate the birth of the coming of Jesus in human form. And God, what a blessing it is. And as we go through, help us to focus, completely and totally focus on the joy and the hope and the love and the peace that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we talk about hope, it's a word, and we all have a definition that we might think of what that is. A feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. And we've all experienced hope in various manners. As a small child, you hope for something to happen, and it sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. As an adult, we still experience those joys of hope, expectation. We truly believe hope is associated to bringing something that good may happen. No, we don't hope for bad things. Hope is associated with things that are very positive. As we go through this, think about how this applies to you. But as we go through each successive week of Advent, bring hope with you. Don't just say it's this first Sunday and leave it alone. Hope is a part of every aspect. So we want to do that. You know, immediately some of the things that come to mind is hopeless. There is that people fall into in despair or desperate, downhearted, pessimistic, useless. And we've run into those situations as well. There's probably times that we have felt hopeless, wondering what would happen next, what will occur. What do you hope for? I ask you to, this week, kind of think about what are some of your hopes? What are some things that maybe you've had a hope for 50 years and it still hasn't happened? Maybe it's a hope for tomorrow. A lot of people can say good health, and that's truly an awesome thing to hope for. You hope for family and the time that you can have with them. The biggest one that comes to my mind is the hope for Christ's return. Do we consciously think about that, the hope of his return? Today's text is going to come from Luke 21, 25 through 36. This particular section of scripture comes from what is referred to as the Olivet Discourse. It's found in three different Gospels, Matthew 24, verses 1 through chapter 25 and verse 46, Mark 13, 1 through 37, and then here today, we're going through Luke 21, 5 through 36. These sections all refer to the same thing. Matthew probably is the most extensive in that, and it gives you an opportunity possibly this week in your reading to just take some time and review these same three gospel writers talking about the same thing. There's four topics of interest that we'll refer to. The first is from Luke 21, verses 8 through 19, the signs and coming of destruction. Well, that brings a lot of thought to hope, doesn't it? The second one, again, Luke 21, verses 20 through 24, destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. The third begins with today's text. And Luke 21 will begin in verse 25 through 28, and I will be using the Voice translation. There will be earth-shattering events. The heavens themselves will seem to be shaken with signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And across the earth, the outsider nations will feel powerless and terrified in the face of a roaring flood of fear and of foreboding, crashing like tidal waves upon them. As you listen to these scriptures, remember this is from the Olivet Discourse, when he spoke on the Mount of Olives. Picture yourself in that audience 2,000 plus years ago, and you're hearing Jesus saying these words. Kind of maybe almost gives a sense of hopeless when you hear of all of these things that Jesus is talking about. In verse 26, what's happening to the world? I hear that on a weekly basis today in talking with people. What is going on in our world? The cosmic order will be destabilized, and then at that point, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and blazing glory. So when the troubles begin, don't be afraid. Look up. Raise your head high, because the truth is that your liberation is fast approaching. We went from hopeless to hope. It appears that Jesus is here departing from the events of AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. Jesus mentions cosmic signs, a device frequently employed in the Jewish apocalyptic literature. And that's some of the writing that happened. What exactly are Jesus' words pointing to in this final event of this age? We can't say. We don't know. Nowhere in the Bible does it say when this is going to occur. It says that it's going to. And you can imagine those people 2,000 years ago. What in the world is he talking about? We have 2,000 years of history that has brought us, and we're still no closer to knowing when these things will occur, but that's okay. We just know that it will. The hope is there that these will occur. When Jesus returns in glory, every eye will see him, from Revelation 1 through 7. You know, I always, as a kid, thought, how's that possible? The earth is round. How can this entire world see with their own eyes Jesus? Well, today, with technology, and I'm not saying this is how it would happen, but with technology, the entire world can see the same event, just in a matter of looking at a screen. But I don't know that that's how Jesus will do it, but it doesn't matter. He's going to. Jesus' return will be glorious and with great power. From Luke 21, verse 27, and Daniel 7, 13 through 14. I can't imagine what that will look like. The glorious Jesus returning to this earth. Will we stand there with our mouth open? Will we fall to our knees? Will tears flow? Will there be just, it's happening? I don't know. But it's an interesting thing to picture what that will look like. Believers can raise their heads high, anticipating that time, for it is the fullness of their redemption, from 21 and verse 28. That in itself is just the reinforcement. It's happening. It's really happening. Something we've hoped for and longed for is real. The fourth item, Jesus gives his followers instructions about their present responsibilities, and that would apply to us. This applied to those folks back 2,000 plus years ago and every generation since, and for as long as it is until Jesus returns. Look over there at the fig tree and all the trees surrounding it. When the leaves break out of their buds, nobody has to tell you that summer is approaching. It's obvious. We know even today, as we see all the leaves and the trees in their glorious color, we know winter is coming. He is using something that everybody can relate to, a tree. It's the same in the larger scheme of things. When you see all these things happening, you can be confident in the kingdom of God that he is approaching. There's hope in that statement. You can be confident. I'm telling you the truth, Jesus' words. This generation will not pass from the scene before everything I'm telling you has occurred. Heaven and earth will cease to exist before my words fail. Stop and think about that. The earth, the heaven and earth have existed for millions and millions and possibly billions of years. We don't know. But they will cease to exist before the words of Jesus. That should say something to the magnitude of what the words Jesus is saying to us. So be careful. Word of caution. Guard your hearts. Why does he say that? Because your heart can be made heavy with a moral laxity, with drunkenness and the hassles of everyday life. And every one of us have experienced the stresses and the pressures and the heaviness of everyday life. Some days are much better. Some days you hope never have to relive that day again. Then the day I've been telling you about might catch you unaware and trap you. So if you allow the worries and the stress and the hardships of this life right now to overcome you, you may miss. You may not see what is coming. The joy of the return of Jesus. To guard against the mundane or the dull. I know there's days that nothing really happens that is good or bad. You kind of go, that was a good day. I didn't have any stresses. I could just enjoy the day for what it is. But don't let that become an everyday experience. Focus on what is coming. Because it's coming, nobody on earth will escape it. And that's the thing. There isn't a person alive when Jesus returns that won't experience seeing him and all of these events that he's talked about. So you have to stay alert, praying that you will be able to escape the coming trials so that you can stand tall in the presence of the Son of Man. That's where your focus is. That's where our hope is. That's what our energy comes from. Watch and pray for strength to remain faithful to the end. And I know everybody in this room, if you're human, And I know I am human because this falls true for me. There are some days that, man, it's cloud nine. I am so excited. I can envision, I can picture what the coming glory of God might look like in my small imagination. But then there's other days. It's a pretty hopeless, dreary, dark. A lot of people struggle in the wintertime emotionally as the cold sets in and you're trapped in your homes because it's warm. Snow, or just the cloudy day after day after day. And then the sun shines and all of a sudden it's a new beginning for you. You've experienced the joy of nothing but just seeing the sunshine. And I know there's some that have lived in the Seattle area and can tell you about what cloudy, rainy days are like day after day after day. And yet there's still hope. The sun is still shining above those clouds. Never forget that. Never forget when there's gloom and everything is closing in. Turn the TV news off. Turn the radio news off. Don't pick up the newspaper. Stay off the internet. Give yourself a break and spend time with God. Allow His words to fill that time. Do not allow that to swallow you up. We know who drives the prince and the power of the air. Don't let that be the one that you're listening to. Jesus is coming. And as we begin this Advent season, the hope, the know, each part of Advent has to happen. And it did. And we can experience and celebrate the joy of each event. We would not be here and we would not have a purpose or a hope if this season of Advent didn't happen. If Jesus did not come back as a human and live his life here on earth, and you know how the story goes. Any part of that, and we're nothing but just a group of people enjoying one another, we don't have that same purpose. But because of Advent, because of Jesus coming, it becomes real. Jesus' admonition is not on prediction addiction. That has happened for centuries, and it has failed every time. And as we've mentioned before, the Bible tells only the Father knows. So you can do all the math you want. It's still not going to work out to what you think. If you were winning the lottery, you probably still wouldn't win to pick that time. So don't worry about predictions. Jesus' admonition to us, and when I say his followers, I want you to just put your name in there. Jesus' admonition to Kirk, that I have my eyes and hearts fixed on Jesus and the reality of his kingdom. That's where my hope lies. That's where the hope is. In verse 31, Jesus' kingdom is coming. Kirk, do you understand? Do you feel? Do you believe? Do you hold on to the fact that Jesus' kingdom is coming? Even when I look around me and I have people saying, what is going on in this world? I want to go back to the good old days. We have never lived in the good old days. The good old days are in front of us. And they won't be old days. They will be glorious days. And that is a hope. That is a joy. That is something that we can celebrate and look forward to. Jesus' admonition, his presence with us, with you. His promises and power never end. There is so much hope in those statements. Can you look at and celebrate and feel and embody those words? The message from Jesus in this passage is clear. God can be trusted to see us through whatever may come. And there are times what comes is not pleasant. It's not something we would choose. But there is light on the other side. There is Jesus walking with us as we go through those days. And when we have one of those glorious, awesome days, remember to include Jesus because he's there. We have two responsibilities: to know the truth from verse 31, Luke 21, and to be always on the watch in light of the truth from verse 36. Never forget, always know the truth, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And always be on the watch for his return, for his presence in your day-to-day life. Watch means be alert. Don't get caught napping. I'm so tired. This world has beat me down. I just want a break. Don't let the break go on too long. It's easy to get weighted down with the cares of this life, and they can be positive, good cares, but they may be not going at best at the moment. And the temptations of the world and of ourselves. And when that happens, our focus strays away from Jesus. Our focus becomes on those particular issues. We wake up thinking about them. We go to bed sleeping and thinking about them. We may even dream about them because we have put them ahead of Jesus. There's no surprises in your life for Jesus. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows every moment. He knows what's coming up later today, this week, and every day for the rest of your life. And worrying and concerning yourself and encompassing and swallowing up your time and trying to figure those out, does it change? Can you change events in your life? We think we can, but if we go to Jesus, if we allow him to lead us, those changes still may be a challenge, but you're not doing it on your own. And you're not losing sleep, and your health isn't suffering because of so much stress. Jesus calls us to keep watch, to not be inebriated by the pleasures and entertainment of the world, but to hold the world with an open hand, knowing it's not permanent. We keep watch to know that God is on the move, and we want to be where he is. That's part of the mantra that we have been given to participate with Jesus, where he is going, what he is doing. Is that more important than what you want to do? It's so easy to focus on the things in our world, the things that seem to be in the circles we are in. Let them be second. And you may find that they fall to third, fourth, fifth, or maybe even fall off the table because Jesus is there as your focus. You are watching. You are taking care of what he wants. What does this tell us about Jesus? Jesus is the king who came to power after the old ways fell away. What does this tell us about the people of God? The first coming of Jesus started a new era of God relating to humans. Until he came as a human and interacted personally, that didn't happen. We have been given the gift of having Jesus through the Holy Spirit in our lives 24/7. The folks that were sitting on the Mount of Olives had not experienced what that was like. In Christ, we have hope. Do you share this hope? That's between you and God. as much or as little, whatever. I don't know. There's not a scale that is measured on. What does this tell us about ourselves? This cataclysmic event tells us that all our institutions, even the religious ones, aren't permanent. The only thing permanent is Jesus and his kingdom and his love and the hope of that event. We live in a world that struggles with hope. If you don't believe that, just listen to people in a store. Listen to people at work. The people that maybe you just overhear as you're walking along. Or a neighbor is sharing the struggles that they're going through. Because those struggles are there. They're real. We hear it certainly on the news. When you have someone get in a van or an SUV and plow through a parade of people, it hurts. It hurts to hear about it, and we weren't even there. It wasn't our family. I personally didn't know anybody. It didn't change things. Jesus loved every one of those, including the driver of the SUV. It's hard in that struggle of time to see hope and to focus on hope because we exist in a lot of cases in a world of hopelessness. As we think about, and as we begin Advent, hope is our focus. As we move through the Advent season, remember to take hope with you. As you go through each day, what are some hopes that you have? Share those with Jesus. And if you are comfortable, share those hopes with someone else. Listen to someone else's response. Focus on what that is in Jesus. That's participating with him, sharing that hope of him. And Advent is all about Jesus and his coming and what that means. But take hope with you. Hope, a time to remember who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Can you think of anything more monumental in your life than the presence of Jesus Christ? He gave everything to us, and his life was poured out and beaten for us. And today, on the table in front of me, the communion table, are the elements that represent his body broken for us in the form of the bread, his blood poured out for us in the form of the fruit of the vine. As you approach the table, think of the hope that comes because of Jesus Christ. Think of the blessing of a future that we have. That's not just words. We know Scripture says it's coming. He is coming. But we can celebrate this meal that he has provided. You bow your heads. Loving God, as we experience this time with you, this Advent season, God, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the plan that you collectively put together, that each one has a role, and you've given us a place at your table through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. We ask that you would bless this bread and the fruit of the vine, as they represent the very love and body of Jesus. God, I thank you for all that you do. Instill within us a hope that cannot be extinguished, that cannot be put aside. Allow that to become front and center. And God, I thank you again for this communion. In Christ's name, amen. As we come to the table, it's not a race. It's a time to reflect and think about. So I would ask that you just come through. I trust the music is long enough. It typically is. And we will enjoy and take that special time and focus on the hope of Jesus. The table is set. Come as you're led.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, in all of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this first week of Advent. Keep our hope, our patient expectations of Jesus in our minds during this coming week. Help us to realize the magnitude of Jesus coming to earth as our Savior. May that thought be constantly with us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in closing, I want to refer to Revelation 20, verses 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.